Dear Masechta Yevamos Daf Pei Daled, and we will begin at the new perek Yesh Mutaros LeBaleihem. As Tosfos tells us in his introductory remarks to this perek, that actually now we're starting to begin to summarize the halachas of Yibum that we've been spending so much time Baruch Hashem learning, and our Mishnah, according to Tosfos, really doesn't contain that many chidushim. Really, it's more of a summary of a lot of halachas that we've learned already, Baruch Hashem. Although then Tosfos goes on to indicate where there is a chiddush in the Mishnah, and other mefarshim, as we will, in Mitzvah Shem, also mention, point out certain halachas that we learned from our Mishnah that we haven't learned previously. Says the Mishnah, Yesh mutaros lebaleihem v'asuros liyivmeihem. There are certain women who are permitted to be married to their husband, but as far as the relationship with a yavam, that is prohibited, and therefore they may not have yibum. And as the Rishonim explain, our Mishnah is not referring to a situation where there's a chiyuv kares, where there's issa kares, with the yavam having a relationship with his yavama. Because we go back to the first Mishnah of our Masechta that says that in those situations there's a total exemption from yibum. Our Mishnah is referring to situations where the Isser between the Yavam and the Yavama is a Chiyav Lav. So, as we've learned, and we'll mention in Mitzvah Shem today, Shir, there is a Chiyav Deraisa for Yibum, Esei Deichaloisa say. It's the Rabbanon who said that only Chalitza should be done under those circumstances. And that's the cases that our Mishnah is referring to, where the husband and wife may be perfectly married, but for the Yavam there's an Isser Lav, or Isser Esei, where the halach is that they should only have chalitza, not yibum. There's also interesting shaila that I saw. We know, we will discuss it later in the Masechta Mitzvah Shem, that when the Torah tells us that a yavam does chalitza, there's a parasha in the Torah that has to be read by the yavam, by the yavama. And part of the parasha is that the yavama says, "Me'ein yavami l'kachas l'isha." My yavam refuses to take me as a wife. And the Mefarshim discuss, is that a parasha appropriate to be said under these circumstances? Because it's not that he doesn't want to take her as a Yavama. The Mishnah is telling us, the Halach is telling us, that they're not allowed to be married. The Chalitza is the only option. So reading that parasha is not really 100% accurate. But the Rishonim already say that since Midaraisa, she is a candidate for Yibam, even though Midarabonim she isn't, it's appropriate to say the parasha under those circumstances too. The next case are situations or mitaros liyiv meihem v'asuros lebaleihem. They may be married to the yavam, but not to the husband. And Tosfos points out that this is a very bechiddush, because as we've discussed many times, one would assume that the yibum marriage is an extension of the original marriage, and if the original marriage was a suris lebaleihem, they weren't allowed to be married to the husband, so there's no place for yibum. Teaches us the Mishnah that since the isser in that original marriage was only a chiyuv lav, again, not a chiyuv karis, so halachically that marriage is considered a valid marriage, even though they shouldn't have been married and they shouldn't remain married. Mataros liyiv meihem, they're allowed to have yibum. Then we have situations on Mataros Leilu Leilu, they're allowed to be married both to the husband and to the Yavam. And then we have situations, Vasuras Leilu Leilu, they're not allowed to be married not to the Yavam and not to the husband. Begins the Mishnah with examples. Leilu Mataros Lebalei Vasuras Leiv Meim. Here are some examples of women who may be married to the husbands, but not to the Yavam. Koyin Hedjit Shenosas Almona. We have a Koyin Hedjit that married an Almona. He has a brother who's a Kohen Gadol. So the halach is that a Kohen Gadol may not marry an almona. So the Kohen Hedjit may. So the marriage was perfectly fine between the husband and the wife, but Yibum is inappropriate because he's a Kohen Gadol. Next example. So before we go further, I saw a very interesting Chacham Tzvi. Chacham Tzvi says, we're going to use the Chacham Tzvi in a moment. Cholo shenosik sheirim. We have a cholo that married a woman who's kosher. Now, the halacha is, as we will learn a lot in this parak, that a cholo marrying a woman makes her into a chalola. So if a cholol, a person who's a cholol married a kosher woman, who now became a chalola because of that marriage, the yesh le ach kosher, and the cholol has a brother who's a kayin, who's 100% fine. So the brother, the kayin, is not allowed to marry a chalola. So we have a situation where the husband was allowed to marry her, but not the yovam. Next case, Yisrael shenasa bas Yisrael. One Yisrael married one Jewish man with no issues, married a Jewish girl with no issues, so the marriage is perfectly fine. V'yesh le ach mamzer, but he has a brother who's a mamzer. A Yisraelis is not allowed to marry a mamzer, so it's mutaris lebaleim v'asuris liyivneim. Or we have a situation, the reverse of this: mamzer shenos mamzeris, a mamzer married a mamzeris, again perfectly acceptable. However, v'yesh le ach Yisrael, the mamzer has a brother who's a Yisrael, not a mamzer, so he's not allowed to marry this mamzeris. All of these are situations of mutaris lebaleim v'asuris liyivneim. Continues the Mishnah, ve'el mutaris liyivneim v'asuris lebaleim. The next group are women who are allowed to be married to the yovam, but not to their husbands. Kain gadol shekiddush es almana, a kain gadol that did erusin with almana, v'yesh lo ach kain hedjet. He has a brother who's a kain hedjet. So let's analyze the situation. The halach is that a kohen gadol, as we've learned, may not marry an almana. So therefore, this erusin shekidesh is not legal. A kohen hedjet may marry an almana. But here we have to make a very important point that really has two parts to it. The kohen gadol and this almana only had kedushin; they didn't have erusin. Since they only had kedushin and not erusin, so this woman, they only had Eris and not Nisuin. So since they only had that, she doesn't become a Chalola. Because Chalola only becomes after Nisuin, when the marriage is consummated. So now this Kain Gadol did Erisin with the Almana. If he dies, there's a Chiv Yibam. Because, and in fact, the Tosfos Yontov says, that's one of the Chidushim of our Mishnah. That even though there's only Erisin between the husband and wife, there already is an obligation for Yibam. Now, furthermore, this woman doesn't become a chalola, because she only becomes a chalola when there's nesuin. There was never nesuin here. Therefore, she falls to Yibam, and the kohen, who's his brother, who's not a kohen gadol, may marry her. So asuras lebaleim, she may not marry her husband, the kohen gadol, but she could have Yibam with her brother-in-law, the kohen. So here we've mentioned the Chacham Tzvi. Chacham Tzvi says, we learned earlier in the Masechta an issue of a katlonis. A katlonis is a woman who was married twice and husband died, that she's not supposed to get married again. Says the Chacham Tzvi, from here we see that when does that halacha apply? When it's not a makom mitzvah. But the makom mitzvah, yibam, then there's no din of a katlonis. What's the proof? Let's look at this woman. She's an almana, that the kohen gadol, that she was almana before she married the kohen gadol, before she had erusin with the kohen gadol, and now the kohen gadol died, so she already lost two husbands. So how could there be a question of yibum? She's a katlonis, says the Chacham Tzvi. We see from here there is no issue of katlonis, but mokum yibum. That's the Chacham Tzvi. So the mefarshim say there is no proof to the Chacham Tzvi from our Mishnah, because they say if we remember the Gemara we learned about a katlonis. The Gemara gave two possible reasons why the halach is that if a woman was married twice and her husband's died, she can't marry a third time. One reason was mayon garum, that everybody who has relations with her dies. Here it's not applicable, because she never had relations with her second husband. It was only erusin, not nesuin. The other reason we learned was mazel garum, that this is a woman that brings bad luck. Seder mefarshim, here that's not necessarily appropriate, because here, you know why the second husband might have died? Because he did an Avera. He was a kohen gadol that did erusin with an almana. When do we say katlonis? When there is no other explanation for this death. Here is an excellent explanation. The kohen gadol did a terrible Avera, and therefore the reason she can marry the yavam is not because the mokum yibum, there is no din of katlonis. It's because she's not a katlonis. There was other reasons or other circumstances under the situation. Next case. Yisrael kosher shenasa chalala. There's a kosher koyin that married her woman's a chalala, so that's an illegal marriage. V'yesh lo achalal, but he has a brother's a chalal. So she's mutter to a yavam, but not to a husband. Yisrael shenasa mamzeres. If Yisrael married a mamzeres, not permitted. However, v'yesh lo ach mamzer, which is permitted, yavam, not husband. Next case, mamzer shenasa bas Yisrael. Again, an illegal marriage. However, v'yesh le'ach Yisrael, he has a brother who's a regular Yisrael that may marry this woman. These are all examples of mutaris le'yivmeyem v'asuris le'baleim. Continues the Mishnah, v'eila asuris le'elu le'elu. The following group are also both to the husband and to the yavam. Kain gadol shenasas almona. If kain gadol married an almona, v'yesh le'ach kain gadol or kain hedjit. Here, the Mishnah is saying there was nesuin. Once there was nesuin between the kohen gadol and the almana, she becomes a chalala. Once she becomes a chalala, whether he has a brother who's a kohen gadol, and the mefarshim explain how can we have two brothers that are kohen gadol. The simple answer is that the second brother was named kohen gadol after the first brother passed away. Or the mefarshim say that under certain circumstances, there could be more than one individual in Klal Yisrael who has the status of a kohen gadol. And the circumstances that one was made a kohen gadol and then he lost his position, but he still has the din of a kohen gadol. Or he has a brother who's a kohen hadjit. That the halach is that a kohen hadjit is not allowed to marry a chalala. So she is not allowed to be married to her first husband, nor to her second husband. Similarly, kosh shenos chalala, kai married a chalala, illegal, v'yesh le'ach kosher. And he has a brother who's a kohen, who's not allowed to marry her. Next case, yesral shenos mamzeres. A Yisrael married a Mamzeres, illegal, v'yesh lach Yisrael, and his brother's also Yisrael, who's not allowed to marry her. Mamzer shenasa bas Yisrael, a Mamzer married a bas Yisrael, wrong, to happen, v'yesh lach Mamzer, but he has another brother who's also a Mamzer. All of these are examples of Asuras l'eila l'eila, she's not allowed to be married, not to the husband, and not to the Yavam. V'shakal anoshim, a normal situation. The Mishnah doesn't have to go through all the details. Those are the situations where Mutaris Lebaleim, Uli Yivmeim, she may be married both to her husband and to her Yavam. We learned earlier in the Masechta, there's a concept of Shniyos. Shniyos means Erva Midarabonim, Midaveri Seifrim. Shniyos Midaveri Seifrim. The classical example is a grandmother. A grandmother is not an Erva Midaraisa, but is an Erva Midarabonim. And as Rashi and the Mefarshim go into great detail, we'll try to summarize it. It's possible, we know, one halacha that we've discussed many, many times, Baruch Hashem, that the chiv of Yibum, they have to be brothers from the same father. A grandmother, whether it's a maternal grandmother or a paternal grandmother, is Aser Midrabonim. So we could have two paternal brothers that have different maternal grandmothers. Because they don't have the same mother, they have the same father, and therefore they have a yibum obligation between themselves. Says the Mishnah, Shniyas Medivrei Seifrim. We're now going to discuss a woman under this circumstance that's only us Medrabonim. She could be a Shniya Labal V'lo Shniya L'Yavam. She could be Osir to her husband, but not Osir to her Yavam. That's Asur Labal. That would be a case where she's not allowed to be married to her husband, midrabanan, but she may be married to a yavam. Shniya l'yavam v'lo shniya l'baal, or she could be a shniya to a yavam and not to a husband. That would be a circumstance of asur l'yavam or mitaris l'baal. Shniya l'zeh l'zeh, if it's a shniya both to her husband and to her yavam, asur l'zeh or l'zeh. So now the Mishnah continues, and we'll speak about that more, Mitzvah Shem, tomorrow's shir, about what is the halacha regarding the woman. We know that, and this is, as we start maybe finishing learning Masechet Yevamos, this will be a good introduction to our next Masechet, Mitzvah Shem, Masechet Ksubas. The halacha is that when a woman gets married, she's entitled to a ksuba. The ksuba we know is that the husband has to give her 200 zuz, if the marriage terminates by death or divorce, if she's a psula when they got married, and he has to give her 100 zuz if she was not a psula when they got married. However, that's the simple din that we all know. as we will learn in Mitzvah Shem, there are many more dinim. As we've discussed previously, there are two types of properties that a woman could bring into her marriage. One is called Nechsei Milug, and one is called Nechsei Tzayim Barzel. And they have different halachas. Nechsei Tzayim Barzel, as the name implies, ironclad. They're evaluated, they're assessed at the time of marriage. And whatever happens to those nechasim, the halacha is, when the marriage terminates, that value goes back to the woman, whether they went up or down. Nechsei Milug is different. Nechsei Milug belong to the woman. And if they go up in value or they go down in value, they remain hers. However, the halacha is that the peiros that this Nechsei Milug make, the fruit, the produce that come out of that field, belong to the husband. And Chazal said, there's a deal. That the husband gets the peiros, and for getting the peiros, she gets prukonai. That if she should be captured, chas v'shalom, he would have to pay the ransom. The Nechsei Tzayim Barzel that he gets tachas kvuroso. That when she passes away, he has to pay for the expenses of the levaya. However, here we have a marriage that we don't want to see continue. It's a shnius. Therefore, says the Mishnah, ein lo ksuba, the normal halacha that a wife is entitled to a ksuba when the marriage terminates doesn't apply here. V'loy peiros, the halacha that he gets the peiros and she gets ransomed doesn't apply here. V'loy mezoinus, normally a husband has to support his wife. Again, here we don't have that halacha. And as we will learn in Mitzvah Shem, what that means is even deeper than just not having to have to support her. The halacha is that if a husband and wife are married, and the husband shall leave without leaving his wife a means of support, the halacha is that as long as she goes to Bezdin, and Bezdin says, yes, you are entitled to support, the halacha is that the husband has to give her, the husband has to pay back whoever she borrows money from for her support. This halacha doesn't apply in this marriage. V'loy belos. The halacha is, again, it's machlokes v'shoinim. This way Rashi explains belos. A woman brings into her marriage clothing. But when the marriage terminates, she gets back that clothing. Again, here, that doesn't apply if they had this marriage of a shinius. Because again, Chazal are trying to do everything in their power to dissolve this marriage, not to keep it going. Again, that's the way Rashi explains the loy belos, that if the marriage terminates, she doesn't get back the value or the clothing, even though they're not that valuable. The word belos actually means a shmata, a rag. She doesn't get it back. Others explain the Gemara, the Mishnah, just the opposite. That if she wore this clothing, she's entitled to get the value that the clothing was while they were married. She didn't have to leave it by him because she shouldn't have been married to him. There's also interesting Yerushalmi. The Mishnah is focusing on what he doesn't have to get from her. That normally she has a right to ask for belos. Normally she has a right to get the peiros after they divorce, the Tzayim Barzel. And all of this doesn't apply here. But what about what a wife has to give a husband? For example, the halacha is mas yodeho. What a wife earns, she has to give to her husband. Do we say, make the same knas that since we want to see this marriage terminate, that he isn't entitled to her wages? The Yerushalmi clearly says it's a two-way street. Just like she doesn't get from him, he doesn't get from her. However, there are toiseftois that don't seem to be that clear that it's a two-way street. Only she doesn't get from him, maybe he gets from her. The kaifana vavlat kosher, but if they have children, if one is married to a shniya, it's only an issa d'rabbanan, so the child is fine. And as we've been explaining, the kaifana yisrael, we do everything in our power to terminate this marriage. However, continues the Mishnah, amana l'kain gadol, when amana is married to kain gadol, which we just finished explaining in the Mishnah, is the issa d'raisa, Grusha, the chalutz l'kain hedjit, if a grusha is married to kain hedjit, mamzeres v'nesin l'yisrael, bas yisrael nosel mamzer, yesh len ksuba. And obviously the question is, this is a bigger aveira, and here we're giving her a ksuba, and before we didn't, and that's the answer. because, and we'll discuss it again, Mitzvah tomorrow more, because it's such a big Aveira, we don't need so much of an incentive to break the marriage. On their own, they'll break it. Here, when it's a Shnia, it's not such a big Aveira. We're concerned that they may remain married, and that's why we try to do everything that we could dissolve the marriage. As we explained when we learned the Mishnah, and Tosfos helps us focus on the question that we're not, the Gemara is now going to learn. There are two words in Hebrew that are not synonymous. One is the word nasa, which means nesuin, and the other word is kidesh, which means kedushin, erusin. Says Tosfos, many Mishnayos throughout Shas use those words, nesuin, kedushin, fairly interchangeably. Our Mishnah, however, was very specific, because in certain cases in our Mishnah, when the Mishnah used the word kedushin, it had to be kedushin, it couldn't have been nesuin. The example was a kohen gadol who did erusin with almana. That's when his brother, the kohen, can marry that woman. Had he done nesuin, she becomes a chalala. So it says Tosfos, our Mishnah is being very careful, being very specific, when it uses the word nesuin or kedushin or erusin. Ask Tosfos, why our Mishnah, the first case mentioned, was a kohen hedyot shenasas almana, that the halach is, if he has a brother, a kohen gadol, he can't do yibam. And if he did kedushin with almana, he would also not be allowed to do yibam. So why did our Mishnah specify shenasa? My area, the Tana Nasa. Why did the first case of our Mishnah speak about nesuin? Listen to Kiddush. He could have told us the same halacha if a kohen hedyot did kedushin, did erusin with almana, that his brother, the kohen gadol, may not marry her. V'chi teima, tam adenasa. Perhaps the Mishnah is being very specific to say that there was nesuin between the kohen hedyot and the kohen and the almana. Because once there's nesuin between the kohen hedyot and the almana, this woman is ushered to the kohen gadol with two reasons. Number one, because she's an almana. And number two, because she's no longer a psula. The havale, the issa for the kohen gadol to marry this woman is an essay. She's not a besula. And velaisa say she's an almana. But let's say there would only be kedushin. So this woman became an almana from kedushin twice. So she's taka an almana. But she's still a psula. So in those circumstances, the issa to the kohen gadol to marry her is only one issa. The issa loisa say of an almana. But there is no essay of besula because she is a besula. Ava kiddush, if she would only experience kedushin, so she still is a besula. Perhaps we should say that under those circumstances, the kohen gadol should be allowed to do yibum because osi essay v'doicha loisa say. Ask the Gemara, how could we even have such a havamina? For Kolopurkin, all the examples that we learned are situations of essay v'loisa say. A mamza marrying doing yibum and a bas yisrael is an essay of yibum and a loisa say of a mamzer. V'loyasi essay v'doicha loisa say. We know already from earlier in the Masechta explained the Rishonim that b'mokim yibum of a lav, we don't say essay v'doicha loisa say. And as we learned to review, because the Gozru be a Shni ought to be a Rishayna, that yes, the first be is permitted, because it's a mitzvah say, which is Doicha Deloisa say, but the second be where there's no mitzvah, there is no Eser Doicha Deloisa say. So we know that already. So that can't be the case that the Mishnah is coming to teach us. V'chi teima, so we'll tell you a different reason why the Mishnah mentions Nasa. Mishum the Kabbalah lost the Sefer, we want to learn at the end of the Mishnah, a case of Kohen Gadol Shenasas Almana. That there we learned the case, that if a Kohen Gadol did Nesuin with Almana, so then he and his brother may not live with her, Asuris Lebaleim, Vasuris Leivmeim. But that's Dafka Nasa. That's specifically if there was Nesuin. Why the Shavya Chalola, as we explained, once there's Nesuin, she becomes a Chalola. Aval Kiddush, had the kohen gadol only done kedushin with an almana, so he taka may not do nesuin with her, but she doesn't become a chalala because there was no bia, there was no consummation of the marriage, and she may marry the yavam. Aval Kiddush Sharalei, that's why, since in that case the Mishnah specifically had to mention Kiddush, Tona Nami Reisha, Nasa, In that case, the Mishnah specifically say Nosso. That's why here too it says Nosso. Ask the Gemara, fine. There the Mishnah had to specifically speak about a case of Nosso. And that was saying, since at the end of the Mishnah we had to speak about Nosso, at the beginning of the Mishnah we speak about Nosso. But ask the Gemara, Vadatana Mishum Sefer, why are we using the word Nosso? Because at the end of the Mishnah we have to use that word. Why don't we just say, List the Mishum Tziyoso. In an earlier case of the Mishnah, the Mishnah specifically had to use the word Kiddush. What was the case? Kain Gadol was a Kiddush as Almana. If Kain Gadol did Kiddushin, v'yesh lo ach Kain Hedjet, that the halacha is that asuris lebaleim umetaris liyavmeim. There, it's only because there was only Kiddushin. There was only Erisin. Because had there been the Suin, she becomes a Chalala. That's also to the Kayim. So if we're saying that the Mishnah is using the word because it used it later, so yes, at the end of the Mishnah had to use the word Nasa. But earlier in the Mishnah had to use the word Kiddush. So we should use that word at the beginning of the Mishnah to stay consistent. Ella, Mishum Bas Buksa. Answer the Gemara, the reason the Mishnah you started with the word Nasa is Bas Buksa. Bas Buksa means its neighbor. The next case we're going to learn, the Mishnah has to specifically use the word Nasa. The Kabbalah Lemisni, what was the next case we learned? Cholol Shenasek Sheira. The Cholol married a woman who's kosher. That there, the halach is, he's mutter, mutaris lebaleim, vesuris liyavmeim. But Tama the Nasa is because the Cholol did nesuin in this woman, which after the nesuin, the Shavya Cholola, she becomes a Cholola. But let's say there would have been only Kiddush, where the Cholol did Kiddushin, Erisin, with this woman, Sharile, then this woman is allowed to have Yibum with her brother-in-law, the Koyin, the Yavam. Because she didn't become a Chalola. There was no Nisuin. So in that case, the Mishnah had to specifically say Nasa. Mishmachik Tani Nasa. Ask the Gemara, going back to this case. The first case of the Mishnah was, a Koyin Hedit Shinasa Salmana. So he said that since she's Almana, when the husband dies, and he has a brother, Kain Gadol, he can't do Yibum because she's an Almana. Ask the Gemara a simple question. Let's say the Kain Hedjit married her as a Psula. And now the Kain Hedjit dies. She's an Almana anyway. So why did the Mishnah have to mention a case where she was already an Almana before she married the Kain Hedjit, even if she was a Psula when she married the Kain Hedjit? Once the Kain Hedjit dies, she becomes an Almana and she's not allowed to be married to her brother-in-law, the Kain Gadol. Or my area is funny Almana. Why did the Mishnah have to mention a case where the Kain Hedjit married Almana? Listening Basula, it would still be the same din. V'chi Kema, says the Gemara, because perhaps we'll say, Kesavar Haitana, Nesun HaRishonim Apilim. Nesun HaRishonim Apilim means that we've always said, and nobody should get confused, we're going to continue saying it. It's only a Havamin in the Gemara, that what is the defining moment for Yibum? The defining moment for Yibum is the moment of death, when the brother dies. But now the Mishnah is saying, perhaps the defining moment is the moment of marriage. So if a Kain Hedjit married a Psula, since at that moment, was she allowed to be married to his brother, the Kain Gadol? Yes, she's a Psula. So even though now, between their marriage and the Yibum, she became an Almana, we don't look at the moment of death, we look at the moment of marriage. That's why the Mishnah had to mention a case that she was already a mono at the moment of marriage. We don't look at the moment of death. We look at the moment of Nesuin. And therefore, if a Kain Hedjit married a Psula, his brother, the Yavam, the Kain Gadol, will be allowed to marry her. As the Gemara, I'll prove to you that's not true. Our Mishnah spoke about a case where Chol did Nesuin in a woman who's kosher. That the Mishnah said, that woman will not be allowed to marry his brother, the Kohen. At the moment of marriage, she was a kosher woman. So obviously, lo yamrinin nesuin harishonim apilim. So the question is, why did the Mishnah have to speak about a Kohen Hedjit marrying an Almana? Even if a Kohen Hedjit married a Psula, the din would be the same, that her brother-in-law, the Yavam, the Kohen Gadol, cannot have relations with her. Says the Gemara, here, certainly, Havadim Mishum Sefer. Here, the reason the Mishnah spoke about a Kain Hedjit marrying an Almana is not for this case. This case, the Halacha would be the same, even if he married a Psula, If he dies, she's an almana who may not marry a kohen gadol. But in the Sefer, it spoke about kohen gadol shenosas almana, and the kohen gadol did nesuim with almana. The yesh le'ach kohen gadol kohen hedyet. So that's a case of a surus lebavleim or surus levyoyim. And there it has to be dafka almana, because that was a wrong marriage. And kohen gadol is not allowed to marry almana. Av psula. Let's say kohen gadol married a psula. There's nothing wrong. She doesn't become a chalola. That's when chazilei, she would be allowed to marry his brother. She would be allowed to have even with his brother, the kohen gadol or the kohen hedyet. So there the Mishnah specifically had to speak about almana. Says the Gemara, since at the end of the Mishnah, it spoke in almana, shemachik ton almana at the beginning of the Mishnah too. And as the Rishonim explained, we've said this for previously, as we know, this is Torah Sheba Peh. They used to learn all the Mishnayos Ba Peh, by heart, by memory. So we wanted to make the Mishnah, the wording of Chazal wanted to make the wording of Mishnah as consistent and as similar as possible, that it should be easy to memorize. Before we go further to the next Gemara, we have to review a Gemara that we learned last week. The Gemara tells us that a Mitzri is not allowed to enter Klal Yisrael for the first two generations. The Gemara discussed, Gemara mentioned a Machloikus, Rabbi Babachan and Rav Dimi. And we have a Mitzri Sheni, a second generation Mitzri male, marrying a first generation Mitzris. And they have a child. So what is the status of the child? Do we follow the father? And he's a Mitzri Shlishi. He's a full-fledged Jew. We follow the mother, and he's only a Mitzri Sheni. Rabbi Babachana said, we follow the father. Rav Dimi, however, as we recall, said we follow the mother. Ask the Gemara. Maskef lo rapapa im isa l'chodichi os Rav Dimi amir Rav Yochanan. It what Rav Dimi amir Rav Yochanan taught us is correct. That a case of Mitzri Sheni shenasu Mitzri Rishoina, a second generation male Mitzri, married a first generation Mitzris. That loch is b'no sheni, that her son is considered a sheni. So wow, our Mishnah could have mentioned another case. Have a little listening. Nami, our Mishnah could have mentioned another case. Mitzri sheni, shenosha shtei mitzrayas. A Mitzri sheni married two women. One, achas rishayna. One is a mitzvah rishayna. V'achas shniya. And one is a mitzvah shniya. V'hayu le'bonim, rishayna u'mishniya. And he has a son from the Mitzvah Rishayna, who according to Rav Dimi, has the status of a Mitzri Sheni, he's still a Mitzri. And he had a son from the Mitzri Shniya, who has the status of a full-fledged Yisrael, because he's a Mitzri Shlishi. So if this Mitzri Shlishi, who we called just now a Yisrael, goes and gets married to a regular Jewish woman. So Mitzri Shlishi is a Yisrael. Mitaris Lebaleim, she's allowed to be married to her husband, Vasurusli of Mayim, because the Yisraelis is not allowed to marry a Mitzri Sheni. E Epoch, Venosif, if the opposite just happened, that the Mitzri Shlishi married the Mitzri Shniya, so his mutter, she's also to her husband, because the Mitzri Shlishi is a Yisrael, he's not allowed to marry a Mitzris, but Mitarusli of Mayim, because he's a Mitzri Sheni. If the Mitzri Shlishi married the Mitzri Shniya, Mitarasli of Mayim, the Mitzri Sheni, who was the Yavim, may be married to her, Vasuris Balayim. Mitaras L'Elu L'Elu, what's going to be a case that, again, continuing with the pattern of our Mishnah, that a woman can be married to both of them, is Geyrus. The halacha is, as we also learned last week, Kahal Geirim Layik Rikol. That a Mitzri, even a Mitzri Rishon V'Sheni, is allowed to marry Geyrus. So let's think this through. If the Mitzri Sheni married a Geyrus, it's perfectly fine. Kal Gerim like a Kol. But the Mitzri Shlishi, the Yavim, also can marry her, because a regular Jew can marry Geyrus. What will be Asuras L'Eilu L'Eilu? Islandess. Because the halacha is that an islandess, who unfortunately, as we discussed at length, cannot have children, because she's a full-fledged Yisraelis. So she's now allowed to marry a Mitzri Sheni. She's a Yisraelis. A Yisraelis is not supposed to be married to Mitzri Sheni. And as we also learned, there is no Din Yibum by an islandess, so the Yavim can't marry her either. So we have a case of a Suras L'Elu L'Elu. So our Mishnah, according to Rav Dimi, had another example. Why isn't it included? Answers the Gemara, ton of Ishaya. As we've said many times, the Mishnah isn't giving us an exhaustive list. It's leaving out examples. The case that we just explained is an example of something that was omitted, even though it could easily have been inserted into our Mishnah. Ask the Gemara, my Shire, the high Shire. We know the halacha is, the klal is, that a Mishnah doesn't only omit one case. And we said many reasons. The Tana wouldn't have just left out one case, or we have to establish a pattern that the Tana is leaving out cases. A pattern cannot be established with one case. So where is the other example of something that was omitted? My Shire, the high Shire, and for the Gemara, Shire Ptsudaka. The leftover Btsua Daka. So let's go through all the cases. As we know, a Btsua Daka is not allowed to marry a Yisraelis. So if a Btsua Daka married a Yisraelis, so it's a Surus Labaleim, Mataras Liyavmeim. Now, if a regular healthy man married a healthy woman, so it's Mataras Labaleim, but if the brother is a Btsua Daka, a Surus Liyavmeim. A Btsua Daka who married a woman, and he also has a brother who's a Btsua Daka, a Surus Labaleim, the Surus Liyavmeim. A Giyairis, we learned, is allowed to marry a Btsua Daka. So if she married a Btsua Daka, Mutaris Labaleim, and she's Mutaris Liyavmeim. So we have a case by a Btsua Daka. So here, we could have fit in all of the cases of the Mishnah, and the Mishnah still didn't mention Btsua Daka, so we see that our Mishnah is not being exhaustive. Shai Btsua Daka. Ask the Gemara, says the Gemara, Imishim Btsua Daka, you want to identify Btsua Daka as another example of a case left out of our Mishnah that really could be brought in? Lav Shira. That's not a good example. Dotana Leichai Vilavin. The Tana already mentioned Chai V'Lavin. So the Tana doesn't have to repeat Chai V'Lavin. But a Mitzris, which is a Chai V'Asei, there is no such example in our Mishnah. So that's why the Gemara says, a Btsua Daka being omitted from the Mishnah is not an omission. How many examples of a Chai V'Lavin do we have to bring? But Mitzris, which is unique, it's a Chai V'Asei, that the Mishnah should have brought. Our Mishnah already mentioned Chai V'Lavin and it doesn't want to repeat it. Ask the Gemara, Ot Chai V'Lavin, Miloi K'toni V'Hod K'toni. We're saying our Mishnah doesn't want to keep on mentioning cases of Chai V'Lavin. Our Mishnah does it anyway. V'K'toni, Koyin Hedyit Shinos Almona, if a Koyin Hedyit that married an Almona, that's a Chai V'Lavin to the Koyin Godel, the Yavam. V'Cholol Shinos K'sheira, that becomes a Chalola, it's also Chai V'Lavin to his brother, the Kohen. So again, you see our Mishnah does repeat. So what are we saying that the Mishnah didn't mention Btsua Daka? Because the Mishnah doesn't want to repeat cases, I'll show you the Mishnah does. Answers the Gemara, that's not called the repetition. Because the second case of Chol Shinosik Sheira is coming to teach us another din. Hahu Itzrachei Lishminen K'Rabbi Yehuda Merav. That's coming to teach us the din Rabbi Yehuda Merav taught us. Dom Rabbi Yehuda Merav Lehozru K'Sheris Linosi Psula. Even though, as we've been learning, and we're going to spend more time soon and tomorrow discussing, that when a cholol marries a woman, as soon as that marriage is consummated, that woman becomes a cholola, that's true. But there is no issa for a kahenis, who's a perfectly fine kahenis, to marry a cholol. That's what the Mishnah is teaching us. Cholol shenosik sheira. So there's nothing wrong with Taras Labaleim. Even though she becomes a cholola, but she may not marry his brother the kohen, because a kohen is not allowed to marry cholol. So that's not called a repetition, because the Mishnah wanted to teach us this thing. Ask the Gemara, we still can prove that our Mishnah is being repetitive. V'ktani cholol shenosik sheira. So that's, and then his brother wants to marry her, which is Issalaf. And then we learned the case of Yisrael shenosik bas Yisrael, v'yesh layach mamzer, which again is a chiv lav. So again, we keep on seeing that the Mishnah is being repetitive. Answer the Gemara, Honami La Loy Mahadamisnihi. This is not considered repetition. Why? Dashmina Lavsh and a Shavakol, the call Mashma Lava Shavakol. The first case was that a cholol married a woman who's kosher. and that woman becomes a chalala, and she's not allowed to marry his brother who's a kohen. But that is a lav that's a very parochial lav. It's a lav that only applies to kahanim. The next lav of mamzerim applies to all of Klal Yisrael. So as Tosfos explains, we would think that when is there a halacha that she's muta labala v'sur liyavma, when it's a lav hashav b'kol, when it's a lav that applies to everybody. But if it's a limited lav that only applies to kahanim, one could argue that there should be a din of yibum. Or we could say vice versa. If by kahanim will be machmer, but we won't be machmer by everybody. So it's not considered a repetition. Says the Gemara, fine. Haktani Yisrael shenosim mamzeres v'yeshlach Yisrael. First we teach about a case about a Bas Yisrael that marries a Yisrael v'yeshlach mamzer. And then we talk about a Yisrael marrying a mamzeres v'yeshlach Yisrael. That's certainly repetitive. So we see that our Mishnah is not bothered by repeating itself. If our Mishnah is not bothered by repeating itself, by Chai V'Lavin, why didn't it include the case of Tzu Daka, even though it's a Chai V'Lav? Because it must be that the Mishnah is not giving us an exhaustive list. A Lav, Shmamino, Tana V'Shaya, Shmamino. And just like the Mishnah left out the case of Tzu Daka, the Mishnah also chose to leave out the case of Mitzris, the Rav Dimi, according to Rav Dimi's explanation, and it's not a question, because Tana V'Shaya. So as we just said, Gufa Amar Rav Yehuda Merav, Loi Huzaru, Ksheirois, Linosei lepsulim. A woman who's a kosher woman, a kosher kahanis, may marry a cholol. Leim mesayle. Let's say we could prove that from our Mishnah. It said in our Mishnah, cholol shenosei kshero. The cholol married a kshero. My lav, who does the Mishnah mean when it says a kshero? My lav, kahanis haruiloi. It means a kahanis who the kohen is supposed to marry. Because as Rashi tells us, the Gemara says, the lechatchila, a kohen should marry a kohenis. And yet, even though our Mishnah is talking about a cholol marrying a kohenis, and says that that marriage is perfectly fine. My lav kohenis haruiloi, or my ksheira, because, and why is she called a ksheira? Because a ksheira lekahuna, she's a woman who should really be marrying a kohen. Says the Gemara lo Yisraelis. The Mishnah is not talking about a kohenis. A kohenis really should not marry a cholol. Who is our Mishnah saying cholol shenosik sheira? It means a Yisraelis, but not a kahanis. Or my sheira? What does it mean sheira? Not that she's a kahanis. Kasheira lekol. She's a woman without any problems on her yichus, but not that she's a kahanis. Says the Gemara, ihochi. Let's continue. Yesh leach kosher. When the Mishnah says that if this cholol has a brother who's a kosher, does it mean Kashul kol, mechlad hu pasul kol? Doesn't mean that the brother is kosher and he's pasul. But it's not true. He's not pasul kol. He's a cholol, but he's allowed to marry anyone. Elalaf, what does it mean? When it says kosher, it means kayin. So says the Mishnah. Just like when the Mishnah says ach kosher, doesn't mean just that he's a kosher person, that he has no blemishes in his yichus. Ach kosher means that he's a kosher kayin. Shouldn't we define kshera the same way that she's a kahanis? Yochi yesh leach kosher nami means kosher klal mechadu pasul kol. That can't be. El lav koyin. So when the Mishnah uses the word kosher, means a kosher koyin. Who, when the Mishnah uses the word kshera, doesn't also mean he kahanis. So we have a proof that the Mishnah, when it says kshera, means a kahanis. And again, we should be able to prove that a kshera, or kahanis, a perfectly fine kahanis may marry a cholol. Says the Marmida area. Hakadisa v'akadisa. Yes, when the Mishnah uses the word ach kosher, it means a kohen. A kosher kohen. When the Mishnah uses the word kshera, it doesn't mean a kshera, a kohenis. It means a Yisraelis kshera, and we don't have a proof from our Mishnah that a kohenis may marry a cholol.